Right now,
what
it is time
to
bring
in.
It is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It is time for Cover Your Assets. Jim joins us, of course, every week at this time. He's an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and lots of different subjects, including sports. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring him in, Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. This is very timely. I just got out of the stairwell, and here I am.
Did that ever happen when you were growing up, where my grandmother just, it was a thing, she went in the stairwell, and she would not come out till the storm was over? And just like I had a friend in Kingston, New York, John Napoleon, he was a salesman. At the time, he was about 60-some years old. If you bought an umbrella inside and it was open...
Oof.
Oh my God!
That was the end of the world.
He just about. I did it once.
My first boss.
And he almost died.
Right.
Yeah. So those just are some of the idiosyncrasies I grew up with here.
Well,
Jim.
Yeah. But by the same token, we come from good stock. People were dealing with new things.
That's right.
I would wish that people would pay more little attention when they're riding in a car with their cell phone on.
That's right.
But anyhow, that's me.
Yes.
All right. So
that is old-fashioned.
Yes. Okay. So listen, let's get to this thing called communication. The Mueller report, which is, it's challenging. My wife and I are going through it, and it's been out for some time, and we haven't had it that long, but it's quite a read. Christine thinks it's like a detective novel, so I encourage you to look at it that way. You really have to read it, though. It is so potent with information. Possibly making it easier, the great John Lithgow has done a stage reading of the Mueller report, and you can get it on streaming. So check that one out. In terms of what Jill was just saying about communication and so forth, which, this thing is all about, more and more we're finding it difficult for people to relate through reading and through talking and doing their little blips and blurbs on these machines. So the New Yorker has a piece on that. There's a lot of interesting things about the time we're spending on things like too much phone and not enough personal. But it also is a lot of conversation now stressing the fact, we're giving up a lot of the quality of our life in the process. I was lucky enough going over the channels. We've got about a million channels, as we all do. But I happen to be on the BBC, which I'm doing more of lately for the more intelligent approaches, in my opinion, of things. And there was a very short little chat among four people at the Hay Festival, which is something in London. And the title of it was a long term. Namely that we, unfortunately, and maybe this is the problem, one of our problems, we being the collective we, the world, is particularly a country like the U.S., which has so much largesse, we are really only thinking in the short term when it comes to everything, from eating to politics, etc. And they dealt with particularly the political area in the sense that because the politicians need to get votes short term, it's very, very difficult to get them thinking long term. And the point was made by a very scholarly man, the oldest guy on the panel by a factor. He was actually a lord in London. And he made the point that... we really have to look at this long-term approach, really in the from our eyes, looking at what we want our grandchildren and children and great-great-grandchildren to have when we leave. And that means maybe sacrificing a little bit short-term, be it in acceding to the fact we have global warming and put our voice behind that, and possibly some tax dollars. In any event, it's really fascinating what we have as human beings, this brain, this ability to create, and also this ability to be lazy, and this ability to be happy, this ability to be sad. But the idea is we really have to become more aware, in my opinion, of what we're doing with our time. And I've said this previously, there's nothing wrong with a 10-year-old kid, frankly, daydreaming. I think if 10-year-olds daydream more, they might be better off than having all these plans and so forth. But for adults, it's really time to spend more quality time in terms of what we really want on a healthy basis, mentally and physically, for ourselves currently, and for our children in the long term. It's quite a challenge. I know that.
Well, you have to now basically de-addict. You know, you've got kids who actually need parents that relate to them, and you've got parents who have spent so much time on screen that they don't know how to. I mean, they really don't know how to relate anymore in the way that their elders did, their parents did. And this is a huge problem in communication, in emotional development, etc. And it's sort of it's a very timely topic. In a lot of cases, however, the horse is out of the barn, and you've got to re-encourage a new word I just invented. You've got to encourage people to go back to some regular, almost community things that used to happen that you can't get online.
That comes to mind is, I think, and, you know, there are many factors influencing everything in life and in history. But as you were just chatting, I was thinking of, I think this kind of started when, with the advent and popularity of television, which was really a great, great thing. Great way to connect, great way to entertain. But I think after a time, and I don't know how long, all of a sudden, moms and dads who were confronted with making even more money, I'm talking this country, I believe, mainly, to keep up with what they wanted to buy and so forth and so on, the television began to become a babysitter, and children were left alone to watch their little show. At first, it was maybe Sesame Street, and, oh, that's great, and it's a good show, and so forth. And then it became, well, okay, we have to go shopping now. Oh, she's watching the television. Let her watch it. We'll be back in a couple of hours. That, I think, was the beginning of the breakdown, whereas I always think of Marshall and his family when he talks about politics, being at the dinner table or the lunch table or whatever, and that being a time for communication.
Yeah, it was. It was dinner. When I was young, we were at the dinner table, and what always comes to my mind as we were talking about the Vietnam War. And I was just a kid at the time, and my grandmother and my mother were worried about my brother Mitchell and Mark, and my father, who was a stickler. He wanted you to have a dinner, and he wanted you to have a breakfast and a lunch, and you had to have wheat germ with your breakfast. But besides that, he, even though my father was a drinker and he was in show business, when he was home, he was at that dinner table. And they were talking about the Vietnam War, and here I am, I'm just a young, overweight kid stuffing my face with my grandmother's food, and my father comes out with the statement, "You folks are arguing about the wrong person, and the one you have to worry about going to Vietnam is Marshall." And I was just, and you know, sure as anything,
did you keep
Jim.
Eating?
What?
Did you keep eating?
Yes, I did, because I didn't. It didn't register at the time. But when I was in high school, and they had the draft and the lottery came up, my number, I came within six or seven numbers of being drafted.
Which you did not want to be.
Which I did not want to be. But that shows you how conversations back then worked out. And even Jim, I carried that along. My son Jake and Sam and Mark and Robin, my daughter, and Karen, I always cooked. And you know what? Even when they had sports and stuff, would hold the dinner till everybody was home because I like to cook. And I and
yeah,
we
but
used
it was also because their mother wasn't.
Yeah, but we would eat dinner not at a table, but in the same
in front of the
and
TV.
And we'd get together, but we'd have conversations where we were eating dinner and stuff like
but
that.
But it wasn't in front of, because one of the things
was not in front of a TV.
Right, because
no.
That's one of the things that not I'm not saying in your house, but that's one of the things that happened is people started basically using the TV. This is an evolution. They'd sit and have a tray.
But I would always use food. I knew what they liked to eat. I knew what they'd like to eat, and I would cook it, and that was a connection point that I had with all my kids.
Well, this is well and good, except that most people now, unless they've had that as a background, think that the best thing to do is to get on their device and order, and then their meal will just appear because someone's going to bring it to them. And, trying to say, oh, yeah, hey, you want to sit down with someone when that's your new life, it's going to take a little bit of work to find a balance between those two.
But, Jim, what pleases me most about my kids is they're all family people now. Karen doesn't have any kids yet, but she will. But Jake and Sam and Mark and even Robin, they all are family-centric. They love their family. They love the nuclear family. They have dinner together. They go on vacations. They do have the modern conveniences, but Jake and Sam and they really do like the family connection. And I think that's what's important that people have to pass down to their kids, Jim.
But I think there's more. There's a sidebar to that, which is there isn't a heck of a lot of media coverage of people who actually have that and do that. And I think that if you went out into the universe, you would find that there are people who do that a lot more than you'd normally think based on the information that you're being fed.
The thing is, the key is the connection. And even though Marshall might not have fathomed what Dad was talking about regarding the war and so forth, he had a sense. He didn't have to have an actual mental acknowledgement, but he had a sense that his dad was talking about him and his dad was caring and concerning about him. And that's what this thing about bringing kids up is all about, in my opinion. It's really not about making so much money you can spend them to any school you want to. You can send them to Cambodia to get a mark on their resume to have them go further. It's that intimacy. It's those small, small, small things that make a difference. And I don't know why this is. It's in context, but it's. I don't know. It's a funny. Anyhow, I was out in Indianapolis and in the yard of my daughter and my son-in-law. And I was with Milo, my first grandson. I have three. And he was 4 or 5. And we were out, and there were all of these tree branches and this and that and so forth. And, there was a little animal that had passed. And, I got into explaining death to him. In a very loving, gentle way. And his father, who was in the kitchen nearby, he could hear me. And he had no problem with it because my conversation was really on the level of the child as much as I could do. And the child was not upset or scared. The child was understanding. I was explaining to him about nature. And in retrospect, I'm really so happy I did that. The kid is grown up. He's very smart. He's 10, 11, I guess. Very smart and very creative, so I didn't do any damage. But the point is, when I went into the house, his father says to everybody, my wife and my daughter, oh, yes, Jim was explaining to Milo life and death.
That's right.
In any event, we were all the better for it. And that, folks, I think is something I didn't know I was going to kind of continue on. We have to be really honest with our children. as Marshall's dad was with the family and with him about Vietnam. We've got to be honest with kids when they ask us these questions, which they, you know, there's so much stuff out there. These kids know every damn thing going on in this world, which can look pretty horrible to them. So we don't have to give them a lecture on things. We just have to explain to them things like human nature and anger and you know what I mean. I mean, yeah. And it's not a big deal. But the thing is, you can't put the facts of life, which are no longer just the birds and the bees, you cannot put that in a corner. You've got to deal with it. And God knows, I'm pretty lucky in a lot of ways. My kids never did dope, and I never had to do some of the explaining I'd have to do now that on a child level that they know. But all the parents out there who have children from anywhere of age 2 on up, they've got quite a challenge. And, you know, you have to have faith in yourself in terms of what is it you want in life, what is it you want from the rest of humanity, what is it you want to give to the rest of humanity in making your participation and your share here in this life. And it's very challenging, but we've got to do that because we don't want more and more kids growing up not having a full set of emotions and facts if they've got the God-given brains to have them.
Yeah, it's interesting because on Father's Day, I don't take Father's Day as a gift, as a thing where I should get a gift, but I sit back and I look back. My son Mark and his beautiful wife have, I've got 2 grandchildren there, very centric family. They don't have pets because one of the kids is allergic to dander. Jake and his lovely wife have 2 grandkids there, and they have a dog, which they got. And then Sam has, I have a grandkid there, and Sam has even got a dog, and Karen got a dog. They all have formed like their own. It's so proud to see them all with their own separate families and their own separate lives going and continuing on. So,
and it's, I totally concur.
Communication.
Probably one of, if not, I'll say one of the happiest days of my life was when my oldest son got married. You know, he was in his late 40s and met a wonderful woman. And they had a child, and he's in his 50s. And I say to him, I've said many times, 3-5 times now, Gregory, I am so happy that you are happy in having achieved what you have with a family, which makes you happy. Yes. And to see that really brings a joy to my heart. And you've just shared the same thing, Marshall. I mean, that's what life is about. Going out there from ourselves, be it ourselves or their selves, is not where it's at. Enjoying what you have and growing what you have is what it's about.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
Oh, my God. This has certainly been a pleasure. A pleasure. The family makes it all work.
All right,
love
Jim.
You too, kids, and your families. Goodbye.
Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.